glad to be here with you tonight. For those who don't know me, my name is David Huang. I'm a brother from the church in Boston, in Massachusetts. And why am I so excited to be here tonight? Because we're in the Summer School of Truth on the Bible, the Word of God. And that's wonderful because it brings a lot of memories back to me. Because I was in your chairs, I was thinking about this, not here, but in California, 26 years ago. In the Summer School of Truth in the church in Irvine, in the church in San Gabriel. And I remember that had a big impact on my life. I remember the subject of the Bible. Do you guys remember this? God planned and created, Satan rebelled and damaged, man fell and was lost, but Christ redeemed and built. I learned that 26 years ago. It's still in my memory from the Summer School of Truth. So I hope 26 years from now when I see you, Sam, I'm going to ask you. Maybe I'll be a little older, you know. Sam, do you remember the subject of the Bible? And I hope you'll be able to remember. Well, tonight we're covering another aspect that the Bible talks about. And this aspect is the kingdom of God. So if you can, please open your outlines to message number 12. Message number 12. The kingdom of God and the dispensations. The kingdom and dispensations. So first of all, what is a kingdom? A kingdom is a realm where someone can rule. Okay, a kingdom is a realm where someone can rule. So the kingdom of God is a realm where God can rule. And so we may think tonight, the kingdom of God, that's something that is never going to have anything to do with me. That's something either far away, something very scary, but hopefully we'll see tonight that God wants you and God needs you to participate in his kingdom. So the kingdom of God is not something far away, but it's something very close and something that God wants you to participate in. So first of all, where is the kingdom of God? Well, where can God rule and reign? Well, you can say that the kingdom of God exists in the heavens and God is ruling and reigning in the heavens. But do you think God is satisfied with just ruling in the heavens? No. Where do you think God wants to rule and reign? On the earth. On the earth. So in Roman numeral 1, we see the Bible reveals the central, primary, and most important goal of the gospel of God is to save us into the kingdom of God. And in the beginning in Genesis, this is point A, we see God's intention. So God has a kingdom, but there's also an enemy. And the enemy is Satan. And the enemy has developed a stronghold on the earth. So the earth has been polluted, earth has been damaged, and Satan's stronghold is on the earth. So God desires to have his kingdom come to the earth. And we can see this in Genesis. When God created man, in Genesis 1, 26, I'm not sure if we have all our verses here, but I'll just read it to you. It said, God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything that creepeth upon the earth. So God wanted man to have dominion over all the earth, which means God wanted man to be part of his kingdom. But before man could be part of God's kingdom, man needed to have God's life. Man by himself could not participate in God's kingdom. So man needed to have God's life. So God put man in front of what? The tree of life. Meaning that God wanted man to take him his life. So before man could get the tree of life, what happened? The enemy came in and damaged man and ruined man. So God couldn't get, at that point, a representation on the earth. So you have hundreds of years, thousands of years pass, and eventually God raises up, in point B, after that race failed, Abraham. And God said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a great nation. So God had another start with Abraham. And we don't have time to get into it, but God established the kingdom of Israel, but kingdom of Israel fell away from God, and did not fulfill God's purpose of bringing in his kingdom to the earth. So God still didn't have a realm where God could rule and reign on the earth. Well, eventually what happened? The New Testament comes along. And you know what John the Baptist, how did he start his preaching? I'll read Matthew 5:2. John the Baptist didn't say, "Repent, for Jesus is coming." He didn't say, "Repent, for you're sinful." But he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near." So John is getting people ready. Hey, the kingdom's coming. The kingdom's coming. And then when Jesus came, it says in Matthew 4:17, just a few verses later, from that time Jesus began to proclaim and say, you know what he said? "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near." Amen. So John says, "Repent for the kingdom." Jesus says, "Repent for the kingdom." So here you see what's on God's heart. God says, "Oh, I want to establish my kingdom on the earth." But what is the kingdom at this time? The kingdom is actually, the Lord talked about the kingdom in a couple different places. And he said in Luke 17:20-21, the Pharisees, who were the religious ones, he was questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming. And he answered and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'Here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." So Jesus is basically saying, the kingdom of God is already here, which is basically Jesus himself. Jesus himself was the kingdom of God on the earth. Because Jesus himself was one who was fully under the authority of God the Father and fully represented God. So here's Jesus on the earth, fully manifesting the kingdom of God. So at least on one place on earth, wherever Jesus was, the kingdom of God is manifested. This is wonderful. So then the question becomes, well, this is great. The kingdom of God is in one man. But how does that have anything to do with me? Jesus, of course, was under the rule and reign of God. How does that have anything to do with me? Well, let's switch gears a second. We're talking about kingdom as a place where someone can rule. But what's another kind of way of thinking about the kingdom? You can think about a kingdom as a realm of life. So think about this. So we think about the plant kingdom, right? We think about the animal kingdom. I don't know, the kingdom of the cats. I don't know, all that kind of thing. The kingdom of this, kingdom of that. And what's the distinguishing factor of a kingdom of life? You have to have that life to be part of that kingdom. Now, no matter how much a dog can stand, you know, all these dogs do tricks, you know, you can watch YouTube or whatever, and they kind of stand up and do these tricks, and they walk like a human, and they can, like, eat human food, and I don't know, maybe they can eat with a fork, I don't know what they can do. But, so, dogs can act like humans, but will a dog ever be a part of the human kingdom? No. Why not? Because it doesn't have the human life. So here's Jesus, who's the kingdom of God on the earth. How can we enter into the kingdom of God? We need to have what? God's life. Amen. And this is actually what someone said. The Lord said this in John chapter 3. He was talking to a man named Nicodemus. And he told Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless," this is John chapter 3, verse 3, "unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And Nicodemus says, "How can a man be born when he's old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" And Jesus said, "Unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So Jesus says, unless you're born anew, unless you have a new life, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus is like, "Am I going to go into my mom's? My mom's not alive anymore. How can I become born again?" Jesus is like, "No, you need to be born of God. Amen. You need to be born of God." So all of us to be participating in God's kingdom need to be born of God. So how does God get us into his kingdom? How will you come be born of God? Well, some of the sisters mentioned it in their thing today. The Lord also likens the kingdom to a seed. To a seed. And this seed, and this is several verses, but I'll just read Mark 4:26, and he said, "So is the kingdom of God. Is this if a man casts seed on the earth?" So he said the kingdom is like a seed. And the seed gets into the dirt, into the ground, Alex. And then as it grows. And as this seed grows and develops, that is the expansion of the kingdom. So God himself is the seed of life. And what is the earth? It's our heart. Amen. So when we receive the Lord, not only did we receive God's life, but we receive this little kingdom seed. And as this seed grows in our heart, the kingdom of God is actually growing on the earth. So how do we participate in God's kingdom? By allowing this little seed to grow in us. Amen. You know, in every life has a consciousness. You know, I was studying today, yesterday, I was telling my wife, it was very kind of a side story. You know what a water bear is? Okay, it's like a little water thing. It's like these things that, you know, when you're a kid, right, you buy them, and they're these dry, they look like little shrimp, and then you add water, and all of a sudden they come back to life. These are like amazing creatures, okay? So these water bears, they're these amazing creatures, and anyways, you just add a little water. And anyways, it was saying how someone in Israel sent a rocket to the moon, and they had water bears on the rocket. And they're thinking, wow, I wonder if they're alive. Because water bears can stay stagnant for 9 years. Okay, so water bears, they're alive in water. And when their water runs out, they kind of shrink up and go dormant. But they're still alive, but they're kind of dormant. And they can stay dormant for 9 years. And if they're frozen, they can stay dormant for 30 years. Right? So they shot them onto the moon. And they're saying, well, okay, maybe we'll go to the moon 10 years from now. And someone's going to put some water on it and see if they're still alive. Okay, anyway, so my point here is that water bears have a very low level of consciousness. Right? They don't really do much. They kind of wiggle around. Well, plants maybe have a little higher level of consciousness. A dog has a higher level of consciousness. A dolphin has a pig has a very high level of consciousness. But the highest level of consciousness is the human life and then God's life. Amen. A lot of feeling, a lot of rich feelings come with God's life. So how can we participate in God's kingdom? It's by paying attention to the feelings of the seed of God's life. So what does that look like? Let me give you some examples. I'm going to give you some examples. Okay, I'll give you a story. So there's a story of a couple in a country kind of far away, and they were peasants, okay, some peasants. And they got saved. Praise the Lord, they got saved. And these peasants got saved, and they were, they couldn't really read that well, but they had a Bible, and so on and so forth. And that night, their habit was every night to have dinner and have a lot of wine and kind of get drunk. You know, so that's the thing that they did. So that night, the wife goes to the husband, is it okay for a Christian to have lots of wine with their meal? It's a good question. And kind of get drunk, and they're like, I don't know. The preacher's gone. Let's look in the Bible. They don't know. I mean, they're just like, I mean, if you're trying to find that in the Bible, you're just like, I don't know where it talks about, you know, like that. So so the wife says, oh, you know what? It's okay. Let's just do it. So this peasant was telling his friend, hey, this is what happened to me. And the friend says, so what did you do? Did you drink? And you know what the peasant said? He said, I didn't. I didn't drink that night. And the friend said, well, why didn't you drink? He said, the householder within would not allow me to drink it. Wow. So meaning the life within, even if I didn't really know the verse, there's a life inside him that didn't allow him to do that. Brothers and sisters, that life is the kingdom seed. Amen. And all of you have that life within you. If you're saved, if you're not saved, please talk to any of the serving ones and we will help you to receive this kingdom seed. Amen. But if you are saved, no matter how small of a feeling it is, you have the kingdom seed in you. Amen. And as we allow and listen to this kingdom seed, it will help us to grow, and that is the expansion of the kingdom of God within us. So I have a lot more examples, so let me give you a few more. So I bought a car, okay, I bought my wife a car a few months ago, and she gave me her old car. Wonderful. So I'm having her old car, and she has this really nice fancy car. And her fancy car, so my old car, the brothers drove it, but praise the Lord we got up here. Yeah. You know, in April, when I was here in April, some of you remember, on my way down, my car broke down. Right after I dropped the last young person off. So that was the Lord's sovereignty. But anyway, so we got a new car, and her car has one of these, you know, safety features, right? So it has lane departure warning. So when you're driving straight and you kind of depart a lane, it goes, and when I'm driving my wife's car, I'm like, what is that noise? I guess I'm a pretty good driver, But it was like a lot of beeping, you know. I think I'm a pretty good driver. But there's a lot of beeping. And I said, oh, that's the lane departure. Mom, what's lane departure? She's like, you're going out of your lane. Oh, whoops, you know. So then, so it helps you to train so you to drive safe. But brothers and sisters, we have a divine lane departure system. Amen. And that is the kingdom seed. So when we're going towards God's will, everything is fine. And, you know, maybe the Lord lets us veer a little bit, you know. We're young, it's okay. But there's a certain point when the Lord will go, lane departure. You're going the wrong way. And then we have to be like, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. You know, I've had a lot of experiences of this in my life. Sometimes, you know, I'm trying to think about experiences your age. But, you know, like, say, you know, say, okay, say I was your age, right? So when I was your age, we used to have newspapers, not the internet and things like that. I had the internet a little bit later in my life, but not then. And so sometimes, you know, the Lord would touch me. I like sports, so you're kind of like reading the sports page, and you're kind of reading it, and you're reading it, and you're reading it, and then sometimes, you know, the Lord will say, that's enough. That's enough. You know, that's enough. He let you read a couple pages, that's enough. And then what's, it's your decision, what you do at that point, right? Are you going to go and keep reading, or are you just going to put it down and say, okay, Lord. He didn't say, that's enough, go read the Bible, he just said, that's enough, you know? So brothers and sisters, I know some of you maybe are on, like, I don't know, I live vicariously through my daughter, who's in ninth grade, so maybe like YouTube, right? There's this thing called like auto feed, right? You watch one YouTube, and it automatically plays the next one, and then the next one, and the next one, and pretty soon it's 3 o'clock at night. Brother and sister, so say you're doing something, maybe it's wholesome, you're doing something for school, whatever, and it starts auto feeding, and the Lord tells you, that's enough. Well, he won't say that, but you'll feel inwardly, that's enough. So what do? You need to just, Lord, okay, amen, I'll put it down. I'll put it down. And that is the kingdom seed growing in you. Yeah. And sometimes the kingdom seed will also prompt you to do things that you don't want to do. Right. You know, so as an example, I was in college, and I don't want to say too much, but I offended a brother pretty badly. And it was completely my fault. And I know it was my fault. I kind of said something bad about him to other brothers that influenced the way they thought about him. So now we were all like, here he is. Hi, brother. Amen. And I knew. And then he found out that I said that. Right? So that's not good. Well, I shouldn't have done it in the first place, but it's like doubly worse. So then every time I saw that brother, obviously not such a good feeling for him to me and also me to him. So it was actually, this happened for a while, and I remember I was in a conference, not like this, but as a college student, and the Lord deeply touched me at that moment, my lane departure system, and he said, you need to apologize to this brother, but you need to do it in a genuine way. So I remember after that meeting, he was in that meeting, and this is probably after 2 years of this kind of going on, and I went to this brother, and I said, you know, brother, and I didn't have to explain why, because he knew. I just said, brother, I'm so sorry. The Lord touched me to apologize to you. And he said, and he also said sorry, because, you know, he had said some things to me. And I just remember crying. Those who know me, I don't cry. I don't cry. But at that time, the Lord was touching me with tears. And afterwards, I felt like I grew a little bit more spiritually because of that experience. Because I obeyed the sense of life. Yeah. So brothers and sisters, kind of our burden here today is to realize the kingdom of God is not something that's too abstract or too far away from you. But you all can experience it. You know, and sometimes the kingdom of God, the speaking is in a still small voice. You know, there's one of the prophets in the Old Testament where there was like a thunder and the person went over there, and there's another earthquake and the person went there, and it said the Lord wasn't there, and it said there was a still small voice, and the prophet went, and that's where the Lord was speaking. So a lot of times when the Lord speaks to us about his kingdom, it's not a loud voice. It's not a, you know, you think like flashing red lights, don't go there, don't go to that party, don't go hang out with your friends, don't say that. Instead, it's a still small feeling. It's this feeling or a voice within you. That's enough. Wow. Don't say that. No. And, you know, even this happens to me. I mean, you're a little younger. I think the brothers talked about marriage. Marriage is, I mean, you're young for this, but I mean, I don't know. Maybe your sisters and brothers. But there's many times in my life where I'm about to say something to my wife. You know, she says something to me. Oh, really? And I'm about to say, and then the Lord's like, don't. Don't do it. And it's not a matter of right or wrong, brothers and sisters. This is another point. It's not a matter of what is the, you know, is this the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? You know, it's not a matter of that. It's a matter of, are you listening to the Lord speaking within you? And many times the Lord has preserved me. Sometimes he doesn't, and I kind of, and then, you know, then that's a problem. But sometimes when I'm about to say something, the Lord says, don't do that. Don't. Just stop. You may be right, but you're going to lose the king. You're going to lose the feeling of the kingdom. You're going to lose my presence. So I stop. And in that moment, I feel like the Lord has grown a little bit more in me. So I think, brothers and sisters, all of you have the opportunity to have this experience. When you go back, when you're about to say something to your parents, sometimes I can guarantee you, you're going to have a little feeling in you saying, don't say it like that. Don't say that. Now's not the time to say that. And you're about, and then it's kind of like the battle of the kingdoms. Satan's like, yeah, say it. But the Lord says, don't. And then are you going to listen or are you going to not? And every time you listen to that still small voice, and every experience, the Lord will grow a little bit further in you. And the kingdom of God on the earth will be growing a little bit more. So as we all have these experiences, slowly the kingdom of God on earth is growing. And growing not in an outward way, but growing in our hearts. Amen. So I'll end there.
I like that story, the lane protectors. Isn't that good? Lane protectors? Lane departure warnings. So my name is Alan, and I also am from Boston. How about we all say hallelujah for the kingdom?
Hallelujah for the kingdom.
How about one more time?
Hallelujah for the kingdom.
Just to highlight some points that David mentioned, you know, he said that, how do you enter into this kingdom? I know you guys were, you're all here. I was in here, so he mentioned it. What is it by? I think I heard it, but it was very quiet. Still small voice. No, now's not the time for the still small voice. So we enter into the kingdom of God by receiving God's life.
Amen.
And I heard a report that there were some people in a recent meeting that prayed to receive the Lord.
Amen.
Guess what happened to you? You got the kingdom seed in you.
Amen.
And now you can begin to learn how to live in this kingdom, right?
Amen.
Under God's ruling and reigning. And I was considering this. You know, some of you, when you hear this, this thought of ruling and reigning, being under someone's rule and reign, what do you think of, Nathan? When you think of ruling and reigning, is that something like, oh yes, really? That's pretty good. Wow. What about everyone? Anyone else? When you think of ruling and reigning, you know, is our immediate response like, yeah, ruling? Yeah, I want to be under the ruling and reigning. So we may have this thought, right? This negative concept concerning God's ruling and reigning. Okay, I got this little example. It's very easy. Okay, if that's the thought, if the thought is God's ruling and reigning is negative, and this paper represents that thought, this is what I want you to do with it. Take it, and then you just crumple it up. Crumple it up, and you throw it away. Okay? How about we all read point D together on the outline? Point D. Ready, go. Okay, let's read it again. So I think we all have it now. Ready, go.
The kingdom of God is the ruling and reigning of God with all its glory and majesty.
Hallelujah. So this point, point D, it doesn't say the kingdom of God is the ruling, the reigning of God, period. Right? It doesn't say. What does it say? How about you repeat after me? With.
With.
One more time. With.
With.
All.
All.
It's blessing.
It's blessing.
And enjoyment.
And enjoyment.
Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is the ruling and reigning of God with all of it, the enjoyment and blessing. And I was considering this example. You know, some of you, you're obviously very young. And to some extent, you're under the rule or the reigning of your parents or your household, right? And you may think, oh, you know, I don't like that. You know, I don't like being under the rule and reigning of my parents. But guess what? You get so much from your parents. Believe it or not, you know, some of you are really small. Guess what? You get food, you get shelter, you get nourishment, love, care. You don't have to worry about, you know, clothes. Some of your parents may even give you money, right? So guess what? You're in that realm, in that household, under God's or your parents' rule, but you enjoy everything that your parents have, right? You get to enjoy everything in that by being in that realm. It's the same way in God's kingdom. In Colossians 1:12, do you know what the kingdom of God is referred to? I have this verse. Listen to this. It says, Colossians 1:13, who delivered us out of the authority of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love.
Amen.
So actually, this realm that we're learning to live in is full of love. It's full of enjoyment.
Amen.
It's full of blessing. It's wonderful, right? And I just wanted to share, you know, as David was sharing about this lane protector system. Sorry. Lane departure warning system. Lane departure warning system. As he was sharing, I was reminded of two experiences, okay? So what he mentioned is a lot of times the lane departure warning system says, dee dee dee, no, right? And then another time it'll say, you know, it'll prod us to do something. Okay, so one example. Recently I was at a college training. Some of you may have, you know, heard, got some reports. And when I was there, we had dorm food. And one thing that's awesome about dorm food is at this place is they had a fountain drink, soda, you know, fountain soda. And it was unlimited. Unlimited. Right? Yeah. So, yeah. And so, you know, after being married, I don't drink soda too much anymore. But when I got there, and guess what they had? They had Cherry Coke. Cherry Coke. So good. Not just Coke. Yeah. Where is this place? Champaign, Illinois. But they had Cherry Coke. And so my immediate response was, you know, I had it for breakfast. I had it for lunch. I had it for dinner. And then I had a cup about this big. And I would fill it up. You know, they gave you a water bottle. I'd fill it up with Cherry Coke and drink it during recreation. Okay. So after about, and then actually, as I was doing that, I was within, you know, it was, maybe you shouldn't do that, you know? That's too much. It's too much. But at that time, you know, I was just like, oh, but it's okay. You know, I was ignoring. But eventually, as the days went on, every time, go to that machine, right? And so eventually, I said, amen, Lord. And I stopped drinking Cherry Coke. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it was a slow transition, you know, from Cherry Coke to unsweet tea with Sprite to just unsweet tea. And so, no, I never made it to water. It's okay. Hallelujah for the lane departure warning system, right? So that's an example. You know, what David mentioned, A lot of times, the Lord, since it's the highest life, it has a lot of feeling. And a lot of times, it's not so clear-cut, right and wrong, you know. Don't lie. Don't do this. Sometimes it's regarding what we eat. Sometimes it's regarding how we dress, right? Nothing wrong, but the Lord may have some feeling concerning these things. And so we're learning to obey that little small voice of the Lord, right? And another example, this is more of the Lord's prodding of me. My mother, she recently visited me 2 weeks ago, because I just had a kid. Yeah, I know, it's really, yeah. So anyways, she wanted to come see the kid, and so she was coming, and then the first day she came, I said something to her. And I shouldn't have said what I said to her, but anyways, she got upset. And I was just bothered, and I just kind of went along. And later that day, I saw her again, and I was trying to find someone. Maybe this brother can come up. Just okay, because my mom's about this height, and so I just after the morning, I had to go to work, and I came back in the afternoon, and I saw my mom. I just went up to my mom, and I said, "Mom," I just said, "I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said what I said."
Okay.
I just, the Lord within me was saying, you need to apologize to your mom, you know, and I'm a grown adult, you know, that's very hard to, a lot of times that's probably one of the hardest experiences, I think, growing up, was to say sorry to your mom, your dad, or your brother, or your siblings, right, especially if they're younger than you. But the Lord, you know what I mean? It's tough. You have to, and as we'll talk a little bit about exercise later, but it's really an exercise to just go along with the Lord and just whatever the Lord's feeling is prodding you to do, right? And so anyways, I apologized to my mom, and she said, don't worry, and then everything was happy. But in both experiences, I was just so full of joy after, you know? I was just so happy. I was at peace. I was right with everyone. It was wonderful. Okay, so hopefully those two experiences will help you. And really the last point that I wanted to share, how about we read point F. Ready? Point F. Ready, set, go.
The kingdom in Matthew is revealed in three aspects: the reality of the kingdom of heaven, the inward content of the kingdom in its heavenly and spiritual nature, the appearance of the kingdom of heaven, the outward position of the kingdom, and the
manifestation of the kingdom of the heaven. Practical, come. Hallelujah. So maybe just for our understanding, the appearance of the kingdom is something negative. It's not something like positive. Like it's not related to expression, but it's basically people that ones that you think are believers, but actually they're not, because they've actually never prayed to receive the Lord. And anyways, so they have an appearance of the kingdom. They may act a certain way, may go to church, but they actually have never received the kingdom seed into them. And so that system is really just an appearance of the kingdom. It's not real. But what we want and what we're striving for today is to live in the reality of the kingdom. How about we all say that together? Ready? Reality of the kingdom. And actually, when the Lord gets a group of people who are living in the reality of the kingdom, that will bring about the manifestation or the appearing of the kingdom a second time, the Lord's second return. And so this is all our heart, and this is a brother was sharing, you know, if this is a timeline.
This pen is no good.
Okay.
Let's try this one.
Okay. If this is the timeline, and this is the Lord Jesus' time, right? So when the Lord Jesus came, the kingdom came. This is, I'll just put JC, Jesus Christ. And let's say this is the Lord's second coming here. So during this whole time, God's trying to get the reality of the kingdom, right? The reality of the kingdom. And eventually, when he gets it in a group of people, it will bring about the Lord's second coming. And I think we're very close. This is what the brother was sharing. We're about right here in the timeline of things. And so, don't we want to bring the Lord back?
Amen.
And so there's a feeling within, well, we need to live in the reality of the kingdom. And it's by what we've been sharing, you know, listening to the small, still voice and praying that this kingdom seed would grow in us.
Amen.
Okay, and I just wanted to leave y'all with three indicators or points regarding living in the reality of the kingdom. Okay, three points. And this is from, you can write down this verse, memorize it, recite it. This is from Romans 14, 17, okay? You guys can all write that down. Romans 14, 17. And what that verse says is, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but it's righteousness, okay? Righteousness. Number one, righteousness. Number two, joy. No, sorry, peace. Peace. And the last one is joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So the kingdom of God, the reality of the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Do you guys know what it means to be righteous? So these are indicators, right? If we're living a righteous life, if we find ourselves righteous, then we're in the kingdom, we're living in the reality of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And really that means to be right with all people and even all things. How can you be righteous with a thing? You know? Maybe sometimes in our past experience, we were walking and we, like this, I'll just use this example. Where did that paper?
Under here.
You know, sometimes we're walking and we're going to class and then we notice something drops out of our pocket. And it's like, oh, and just keep walking, right? Yeah, so we weren't righteous to that piece of paper. Or maybe we took something and we're so mad and we just threw it against the wall. Have you ever done that? You take something and just throw it because you're upset? Well, we weren't righteous concerning that, right? Concerning that item. And so this first point, an indicator that we're living in the reality of the kingdom of God is righteousness. How about we all say righteousness?
Righteousness.
Okay, the issue of righteousness is that we are at peace with everyone and with everything, okay? You know, that example that David mentioned, he made peace with that brother, right?
Yeah.
The Lord touched him, he apologized, and now there's peace. And same thing with my mom. There was some tension, but eventually there was peace. Okay, peace. The last one, joy!
Amen.
Is there anyone named Joy here? Really?
Yeah.
Hallelujah, Joy!
Amen.
My sister's name is Joy. But it's joy in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And so guess what? The kingdom people are actually the happiest people.
Yeah.
Do you believe me?
Amen.
The kingdom people are the happiest people.
Amen.
They're full of joy. Why? Because they have the Lord's presence. Right? So anyways, this last point, maybe I'll end here, is the Bible says that the kingdom of God is an exercise. Exercise. Who likes to exercise? Some brothers? Exercise? Okay. Would you guys describe exercise as something easy?
No.
How do I rephrase this? No. Okay. I think when we think of the word exercise, actually another way to think of it is, you know, whenever we're exercising, you know, we want to go for a run. Let's say I want to go run 5 miles. I want to go exercise, right? Run 5 miles. There's a lot of, so when you think exercise, I want you to remember the word resistance. Resistance. You know, when you're benching also, there's a lot of resistance, right? You're like you're pushing a bar up, try to get the bar up, there's a lot of resistance for that exercise. When you're running, there's a lot of resistance. There's a resistance psychologically, there's resistance physically. And so this matter of the kingdom is a matter of exercise. There's going to be resistance. And so what's the resistance? The main resistance, I would say, is ourself. The main resistance is ourself. So, you know, maybe the Lord, He's touching you concerning something. The kingdom seed, the small voice, is saying something. And then the resistance comes, right? The resistance. No, I don't want to do that. Or I don't need to do that. Or you just begin to argue within. That person was wrong. Actually, that person was mean to me. Or maybe it's, I'm too cool for the brothers, right? This was... It's like, oh, it's too embarrassing. I have to apologize to my mom? Like, that's too embarrassing. Guess what? That's resistance. Resistance, right? And so I would just encourage you all. You know, the kingdom is a matter of exercise. So what do we have to do? We have to stand against the resistance and say amen to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And I'll say this, in today's age, there's actually a lot of resistance among your peers. Outward resistance. And so, for example, I was thinking about this. It happens a lot. Maybe within you, there's a feeling. The Lord is telling you, no, don't. You shouldn't do that. But then the resistance comes through your peers. It's like, no, like come on, let's go. Like, come on, let's go. But then there's resistance, right? Your friends are now, they're resisting the kingdom of God. Lord Jesus!
Amen.
And so, brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God is a matter of exercise.
Amen.
So hopefully, as we're going on in the Lord, listening to the Lord's small voice, we would learn to say, Amen, Lord. And as we're doing this, we're in this realm, enjoying God, enjoying blessing, and we're growing in life. And God's kingdom on this earth is expanding.
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
So I just want to sing. There's a song. We tried to sing it, but it's just a short. It's a short song. But how about we sing it this way? I've got Christ. As instead of seed, let's sing as the king in me, okay? So I've got Christ as king in me, I'm gonna let him grow. I've got Christ as king in me, I'm gonna let him grow. I've got Christ as the king in me, I'm gonna let him grow, let him grow, let him grow, let him grow. One more time. Christ as the King in me, I'm gonna let him grow. I've got the Christ as the King in me, I'm gonna let him grow. I've got the Christ as the King in me, I'm gonna let him grow. Let him grow, let him grow, let him grow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.